Hello, welcome back. I hope you're doing okay these days, friends. I mean, COVID-19 is challenging and difficult, but our God is greater than COVID-19. And he's got us, right? We can trust him. Even when life is hard, God is still good. So today, I want to build on what we talked about a little bit ago in terms of living a fearless life. We talked about how Jesus was with the disciples in the storm and brought peace even in the midst of the storm. And we're going to kind of come back to that theme, I think, here in the next week or so, because this COVID storm doesn't seem like it's going anywhere right now. So we need that lesson too. I am so thankful for the positive response to the suggestion that we do some conversational, I like to call it tag team prayer, with our family and friends. I mean, we're all together a whole lot more, right? And some of your family may never have heard you pray aloud, never have participated in prayer together. So the suggestion was that you get everybody together and, you know, sit together and then just take a few minutes and pray kind of around the circle or randomly as people are ready to pray, but that you listen to the leading and the prompting of the Spirit so that you tag your prayer on to the prayer of the person before you. One of the really important parts is that nobody prays too long, okay? Just maybe a couple of sentences. And it was so cool because I have teenage grandchildren. And they were talking to me the other day and they said, "We did it at our house." And, you know, mom and dad and the three kids. And I said, "Well, how'd it go?" And they were like, "Well, you know, it was kind of hard. We weren't sure what was going to happen." And then the next day we spoke again and they said, "We did it again. And this time it was a lot better than the last time. So why don't you try it? Pray back and forth, even if it's just two of you." Nancy and I do this all the time and make it a means of encouragement. We're not able to be together right now, so we do it over FaceTime, and God is with us. So pray together, friends, and see what God does. And I also like to start today by referencing the Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. It's been a little stressful. The 23rd Psalm, and I'd like to read it for you. Let's read it together. If you have a Bible, get it and read it along with me. You may haven't memorized. This is from the English Standard Version. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love that. And one of the things I wanted to start with today was just that first phrase, the first five words. In fact, I like to make it kind of like a prayer. And since there are five and I have five fingers, I do it on my hand like this. "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a sermon in five words. The one and only, the real deal, the genuine Savior of the world, the Lord. Lord is a master, the one who owns everything, the one who has authority. The Lord and master of all is, that's cool. I mean, not only was he or will he be, but he is right now here with me in this moment. Whatever COVID-19 challenge or any other kind of challenge you face, the Lord is my, he is the good shepherd, right? He's the shepherd of the world. He's the savior of the world, but he is my shepherd. He is my Savior. He's with me. He knows my name. The Lord is my shepherd, leader, protector, provider. He loves me. He knows me by name. How cool is that? So when you need it the most, just remember that. The Lord is my shepherd. Do it. Do it with me now, okay? The one and only Lord, Master, is, in this moment, my personal shepherd, protector, and provider. And when you need it this week, you got him right there, right? The Lord is my shepherd. But I also wanted to go on and just expand on this whole theme that the psalm brings out in its teaching as it goes, because, you know, it starts with this real encouraging section about green pastures and still waters, you know, restoring our soul. How beautiful is all that? But then in the middle, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's that doing in here? Really? Well, what it's doing in there is reminding every one of us that of all the fears we face, probably the greatest is the fear of death. And this says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when the Lord is our shepherd, I will fear no evil. Wow. You know, as we go through this very scary time, it's really important to remember that Jesus is with us and he will help us no matter what. And we do not have to live in the fear of death. A couple of weeks ago here at Pierce Church, I told the story of a family that I led to Christ in Estevan, Saskatchewan, a lot of years ago, Bob and Ann, and how they had two kids who have made an incredible impact for good and for God with their lives. Well, we got the sad news just a week or so ago that Ann, it was Bob and Ann, Ann passed away suddenly from a stroke. And I was in touch with their daughter on the internet. And, you know, we were just giving our love and compassion to them. And I remembered something I'd read a while ago, and I wrote in my comment, you know, Leslie, your mom has left the land of the dying and is now in the land of the living. We talked about it the other way around, you know, like this is the land of the living, but the truth of the matter is all of us will exit this life. Unless the Lord returns first, we'll all pass away and pass into eternity. This is the land of the dying. It's on the other side with Jesus Christ that we will live in the land of the living, and he will give us hope. Now, I feel like the Lord has been teaching me this lesson and helping me prepare this message for most of my life. I've mentioned before that my dad died suddenly at home of a massive heart attack when I was 8 years old. He was 51. I have lived most of my life with an awareness that life is short and fragile. Sometimes those thoughts bring fear and sadness. They do. But at other times, when my faith is strong, when I've been doing what I need to do to feed my faith and not my fear, those fears actually subside and I have hope. You know, wouldn't it be cool? I mean, I've had this thought a lot in my life. Wouldn't it be cool to die well? To sense God's eternal purpose for my life and to move from this life to eternal life with faith and not fear? So, dying isn't just a part of the human condition, it's central to it. You know, everybody dies, and most of us are afraid of it. And the Bible says we can get through the valley of the shadow of death and not be afraid. Part of it comes when we recognize, the biggest part comes when we recognize that our shepherd, the Lord, is with us, and he is the one who conquered death and the grave on that first Easter. When he died for our sins, and when he came to life, he came to give us new life. And if we have put our faith in him, we have become Jesus people. We have become Easter people, and death doesn't work on us anymore. The Bible says Jesus broke the power of sin and death, and I believe that. I really do. And it's when I remember that, you know, when I lean into that, that I'm able to have my fears subside and my hope and my faith strengthened. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 says this: because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. On only this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Wow, that's the truth about it. You know the song, "I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear"? It's a great worship song. In Jesus Christ, we don't have to be slaves to the fear of dying. Like, he is the coolest superhero of all, and he has one amazing superpower. He broke the power of death, and he is alive, and he gives his people the power of life over death. And in Jesus Christ, we're no longer a slave to fear. Fear paints vivid pictures of problems without solutions, of sorrow without comfort, of life without joy, of loss with no hope. But all of that is a lie. As followers of Jesus Christ, we know that he can give us wisdom and grace to solve our problems, that he promises to comfort us in our sorrows, to give us joy even in the hard times, and to give us hope beyond the grave. So we look death in the eye, and we say with deep conviction, "You don't own me. Jesus Christ defeated you, and he is alive in me. And when this life ends, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. John's gospel puts it this way. These are the words of Jesus: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going." Now that's Jesus. That's his promise. "I'm going to prepare a place for you." So Jesus is the one who's going ahead of us, right? I mean, he's already gone through the gates of death and entered into his eternal glory. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the one who has gone through the valley of the shadow of death and taken the darkness away. He has gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and on the other side of it, he says he has prepared a home for us, a place called heaven. How do you describe heaven? Like, take all the best things you like here on earth and multiply them by 100, right? I remember my wife Nancy telling our kids when they were little, "Heaven is like Disneyland times 10. Well, it works for kids because it's true. You know, what's the most fun you've ever had? What's the most beautiful place you've ever been? You know, there's Lake Ontario beaches near here. I already go up there even though the weather's not too warm, because I just love to see the lake and the water. Where I live in Michigan, I'm not too far from the shoreline and the sand dunes, and wow, that's one of my favorite places. Heaven will be far better. Heaven will be far better. So Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin and death. He's gone ahead of us. He's prepared a home for us. And He's coming back for us. So that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't walk alone. You are with me, Scripture says. I believe that when I come to the end of this life on earth, and I am about to breathe my last, Jesus Christ will be with me as only he can. And he will go through the valley holding me. The reality of the resurrection and the power of Jesus alive in me gives me hope. You know, in Jerusalem, there's only an empty tomb. There isn't a body. When he was crucified on that Friday afternoon and died, he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose, and because he lives, I too shall live. My prayer is that that'll get down deep into your soul. A few years ago, I was having surgery, and I hadn't really gone through anything like that. And so I was facing, you know, the anesthetic. And the night before, I was admitted to the hospital and prepped. And I was thinking about what happens if I don't wake up. And I got my journal, and I wrote my wife a letter. Told her how much I loved her. You know, kind of one of those, this has been a great ride, a great journey. There's nobody as beautiful inside and out as you. And I expressed my love for my children and the life God had given us, and I said, I just wanted to say this just in case. Well, hey, I woke up. You know, the anesthetic wore off, and I didn't need the letter. Hey, but my wife read it anyway. And, you know, I just thought, it's real. It works. I wasn't afraid. I slept all night. It doesn't mean I won't ever be afraid again. You know what I know? If I feed my faith, my fears will fade. And if I feed my fear, my faith will fade. So, friends, feed your faith and not your fear. Trust in the risen Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love and care and the promise of life here and hereafter. And so, with that in mind, I pray for anybody who might be listening today who has never surrendered their heart and life to you. You are the doorway to eternal life. And so, Lord, when we pray honestly from our heart, Lord Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come into my life and forgive my sins and make me new from the inside out, and I want to live for you, and I want to follow you. I will, as you help me. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for coming into my life. Lord, I believe you hear and answer that prayer right now. I also pray for those of us who have given our hearts to you, that you would help us to lean into you during these frightening times, even with the prospect of death around us. I pray that you would help us not to fear, because you are with us. Remind us today, the Lord is my shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, C.S. Lewis, the brilliant author of many great books, including the children's books, The Chronicles of Narnia, well, he told those stories about the Pevensey family, the children, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. Each of the chronicles tells about their adventures in this imaginary land called Narnia, where the grip of evil is eventually broken by the sacrifice of a great and good lion named Aslan, who represents Jesus. In the very end of all the stories, Lewis lets his readers in on a secret, something that has been hinted at but never fully explained before. These children were killed in a tragic accident and are about to enter heaven forever. And he writes, "So for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we must truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read and which goes on forever, in which every chapter gets better than the one before." That's heaven. Every chapter gets better than the one before. May the shepherd, Jesus, walk you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you will live in the house of the Lord forever.